Welcome to the final section of the final unit of the class Reading for Writing for College Students. This unit is called Further Considerations about Reading and Writing, especially Writing. And this last section is going to be talking about the era of knowledge without wisdom. So what is wisdom compared to knowledge compared to understanding? It is really, knowledge is just basic facts. Understanding is the ability to see how facts fit together to make something work. Wisdom is the ability to apply those facts or to use those facts and understanding, that knowledge and understanding, in a way that will be helpful and sustainable and the best use possible. I can have the facts about how metal can be, that metal is strong and it is, can be welded together to make a structure. I can have the understanding of how to actually put all that together to make a bridge. But if I don't use the wisdom to construct that bridge with the best materials, I'm proud that bridge is going to fall down and I'm eventually going to have a big accident. If we are talking about environmental issues, we can have the knowledge that the greenhouse gases of carbon dioxide are increasing in the world. We can have the understanding that that can be a problem, but we might not have the wisdom to effect the solutions to cause that problem to diminish or to go away. But in this case, for this unit, we're going to be talking about what happens when an entire society divorces wisdom from knowledge and understanding. There was a 2015 article published in Forbes magazine, and it said this: ask yourself what would a world with too much information look like, and what problems would it create? Here are a couple of initial responses to get the conversation going. One problem created by too much information is analysis paralysis. We become so obsessed about collecting more information that we fail to act on it. Another is that easy access to data makes us intellectually lazy, with the result that we allow rapid processing power to substitute for thinking. In both cases, an excess of information puts a premium on our capacity to make smart and timely judgments. Maybe judgments and action are the scarce resources of the post-information age. And I see this in many cases. We have this mindset today that technology will fix everything, that we as humans have the ability to solve all of our problems, that we can just keep going and the way we're doing and nothing will happen. And unfortunately, that is too often problematic. Think about the problems with the 2009 collapse of the economy. We were doing things in the banking system the way we wanted to do them, and pretty soon we started just analyzing things for profit instead of analyzing things for long-term sustainability of the economic system here in the U.S. and in the world. And that analysis paralysis, only concentrating on profits, caused the whole system to collapse because we made stupid, unwise decisions in how we did things. Intellectually lazy, I see as a professor, I see that all the time. Students want to copy and paste things rather than actually do something with it. This is a real problem. We want to look at the internet and simply rephrase what someone else has said on the internet without giving them credit for that. That's plagiarism, and that's wrong, and it's intellectually lazy. Our wisdom generally catches up with our knowledge, unfortunately, about the time that we get circumstances that are too difficult for the humans to be able to overcome. And that happens very often in human history. So what do you think about these statements? I gave you some examples of how it happened to me. Has it happened to you yet? Is it happening to you right now? Will it happen to you in the future? Well, yes, probably yes, and yes, probably. More importantly, in the church, how many manipulative heresies and blasphemies do we have to hear before we start rolling up our sleeves to do the hard work of thinking critically, thinking correctly, studying, writing, and living for Christ alone? How many leaders today in the church are simply making an appeal to people based on emotions only and not truth? Emotion has its place. It's critical. But if it's not based on truth, it's empty. Of course, truth without emotion is dead as well. So we have to both, when we're as leaders, we have to think critically. We have to think well. We have to study hard. We have to read well. We have to write well. We have to live for Christ alone well. And then when we've read, when we correctly divided the word of truth, it's only then that we're really ready to start to apply what we learned to teaching so that we teach correctly. How many people promise wealth to their constituents because they do this or that? In reality, they're just trying to make themselves rich, as many televangelists do. Don't let that be you. The true wealth in Christ is the knowledge of God and the trust we have in him because he is God. That is the true wealth of Christ. And we're reading, writing, and living for Christ. All this stuff takes work. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. But anything worth doing is worth doing well, as my father always said. You know what? That passage that we read at the beginning of this is not a new thought. Peter wrote this to Timothy almost 2,000 years ago. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, and lovers of the good, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Had nothing to do with these people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Friends, are you always learning but never willing to submit yourself to the truth of God, to study with critical thinking, with rhetorical analysis of the writings of the scriptures, to write with critical thinking, to write with rhetorical rhetoric in mind, so you are always learning and always coming more to the knowledge of truth, and not being as what Paul tells us will happen in the last days. We don't want to be these people, always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. My friends, I hope that you are not what we see here. I hope you are the people that are the soldiers of God combating what we see here, living for Christ, trusting God, and knowing that he is able to do exceedingly above all we ask or hope or think. Trusting God, coming to the knowledge of God and the wisdom that he does truly care for us. A further consideration as we read and write as critical thinkers, we are Christian leaders, friends. We are Christian leaders that are teaching our fellow brethren to also be critical thinkers. Right thinking begets right thinking. Bad thinking begets bad thinking. Friends, if we don't think correctly and critically about God's word, so we correctly divide the word of truth, we're going to train people to be bad thinkers because we're bad thinkers. We want to be train them to be good thinkers. We train them to, as well, to share and live the sound doctrine in a world that walks towards the road of scarce wisdom and analysis paralysis. Our world today is going down into the abyss because we think our knowledge is power, but knowledge without wisdom is destruction. And we are headed for destruction if we do not start to think critically about things in general, but especially about we as Christians about the Word of God, especially we as Christian leaders about the Word of God, to read and write critically. Do not believe just anything that comes. Think about it. Be as the church at Maranatha that were able to study what Paul said and affirm it. We don't want to be the people that believe heresies or act upon them, and we certainly don't want to be the people that start them. I believe there is a greater fire of hell judgment for those people that do that, that take the word of God and incorrectly divide it. Friends,
the church in Berea.
Berea. Oh, I'm sorry. I said the wrong thing. It was a church in Berea. My good wife corrected me. She'll be here in a minute to join us. Maranatha is come, Lord Jesus, come. The church in Berea was the one that was willing to look at the scripture and see what Paul said was true. See, you should have caught me on that one because I was saying something that was wrong. So check. Be like the church in Berea. So Christian leaders, let us read, understand, learn, and critically think about our beliefs in Christ. And let us put them into practice. Let's put into practice our training at CLI to write as critical thinkers in order to speak persuasively the truth of the Word of God to every nation. Friends, is that the desire of your heart? Is that the desire for you as a Christian leader? Is your desire to follow Christ and teach correctly the scriptures? Or is the desire to make yourself great and to lift up yourself to make you think you're something else? Friends, if it's that, I hope you will begin to understand that this is a problem for God. So friends, let us live as Christian leaders. Let us critically think as Christian leaders, and let us use our rhetorical analysis of what we write, of what we read, and of what we speak as Christian leaders. So I'm going to ask my wife to come over here as we get set to pray. This is Dr. Gabriela Ticorina. Of course, you know, she helped me read the, or not read, she helped, we developed this class together. Mm-hmm. But, so we are, and as you just found out, she's the one that corrected me, so I'm very thankful for my wife. But let us pray. Mm-hmm. Let us pray right now that we will be the Christian leaders that God wants us to be, mm-hmm, using critical thinking and the skills we've learned in this course. Our Father in heaven, we walk humbly before you. We understand that we are nothing without you. Father, we know that you are everything and we are nothing. As you say in John 5, you are the vine, we are the branches. Without you, we can do nothing. Father in heaven, we all have the desire to serve you. We all have the desire to teach correctly. to become people who are followers of you, who exemplify followers of you, and who can live and show others the way to you. Father, we want to think critically in the good sense, not negatively about people, but to think, to find what is valuable and correct and wise and true and good in our thoughts, and to throw away what is not. We want to live in a way that we correctly divide the word of truth. We want to live in a way that it doesn't matter how difficult it is, we are going to press on toward that mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus and what it means to be Christian leaders within that high calling of Christ leaders. Help us, Lord, to do that. Help us, Lord, to do all to your honor and all to your glory. Help us to walk humbly with you. Help us to love justice and do mercy, Lord. We are your people and the sheep of your pasture. May we humble ourselves before you, because, Lord, we know only in you are we strong. Father, I pray for these that are listening, that have taken this class. I pray you will use them mightily. I pray that they will take the things they've learned here and turn them into lessons and teachings and communications of writing, of speaking, and in their own reading that will bring honor and glory to you, that will lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that will exhort the church to do right, and that will exalt you, Father, in heaven, because you alone need and only can should receive all the glory for anything that we do, Lord. We are but humble, broken vessels in your hand, and you use us despite of ourselves. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you, because of him we can boldly become before your throne of grace. In Jesus' name we pray all this. Amen.
Amen.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. 1 Corinthians 13:14. Thank you for being with us for this course. We hope you learned a lot. And we want to just express to you our deepest gratitude. We are honored and privileged to have been able to go through this with you, and to, through the grace of God, maybe help you become better in Christ. Because we know it's not us, it's only God and His Holy Spirit that does it. May God bless you all and keep you safe. Amen.
Amen.